Happy New Year's Day. That is perfect. Is that Gord Blankstein? Thank you. Anyone else? Get it out of your system. Okay. Yeah, happy New Year's Day. That's great. January 1st, 2017. It's awesome that we get to talk about vine and branches, Jesus' words to us from John 15 today, because at the end of this little chat up here, I have a proposal to make to you, something exciting that Pastor Tim and the team at North Langley has developed, and so I want to tell you about that at the end of this. But this is so great that we're meeting together on the first day of the new year. Today, it will be a much shorter message. We're going to go deeper next week. We're going to get even deeper into this picture of vine and branches from John 15. But today, our prayer is going to be this. Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. Okay, so baby boomers, the song I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel was recorded in 1965. It's about a man cut off from the world. How many of you are Simon and Garfunkel fans? Yeah, all right. So he's cut off from the world. He's hiding from anything that would cause him pain. And so the lyrics are, I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. And as the song suggests, it's a painful experience, right? This person is going through some real pain. They're trying to cut themselves off from being connected to anything else in life. But I would go one step further here. It's not only painful, it's impossible. As John Donne says, no man is an island. We are constantly connected, whether we like it or not. We're always connected to something or someone. Think of all the things that you are connected to that has some kind of influence upon you, upon your life. Think about it. You're connected to music, to movies, to television, to the person on the other end of the phone, to a cashier, to a server, to the newspaper and magazine, to a Twitter feed, an Instagram photo, a Facebook post, to the text, to your family that you just hung out with, or maybe you're still hanging out with, whom you love, and you just feel like you could hang out with them so much longer. Experience more and more weeks of real close proximity with each other. You're connected to your coworker, to your lover, to your food and drink, to the novel, to the environment outside, to the environment at your workplace. Has powerful influence on us. To another person's feelings. We're connected to the conversation over coffee, to the friend overseas, to the humanitarian organization that maybe we love and is doing great work, to the preacher you hear on Sunday morning, or to the nightly news. You are so connected. And all of this stuff swirling around you is shaping you and forming you. We're being shaped and formed by all the things that we're connected to. You're not a rock. You're not an island. You are connected, being molded into the pattern of everything that you're connected to. And it's just the way it is. Now, that shouldn't scare us, because that's how God made us. We were made to be formed and shaped. We didn't pop out of our mother's womb a fully formed and mature human being. We were made to be shaped and formed throughout our whole life, growing and learning as we are connected. And the question is, what am I connected to and how am I being shaped? This is a good question to ask on the first day of a new year. What am I connected to and how am I being shaped? As you add up everything you're connected to, I mean, go through it in your mind right now. Just think of all the people and things that you're connected to. How is it all shaping you? Because you are becoming someone. You're continuing to become. You're growing. Where are you learning your wisdom? Where are you forming your identity? That's a big question. How do you form an identity? So the question is not, am I being shaped? The question is, what am I connected to? And how am I being shaped? So go ahead right now. Just scan through in your mind the numerous people, places, things, ideas, books, and teachers you're connected to. And ask yourself, how are they shaping me? How am I being formed? I mean, what do you listen to a lot, like throughout the week? I mean, what radio station, what program? Today, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So Jesus gives us this beautiful picture of being connected to him, being connected to Jesus. Jesus shows that we are constantly being shaped. And so he invites us, he invites you to say, he says, come, be shaped in me. You're going to be molded in life. Come and be grafted into me. I am the vine. You're the branches. Receive all of your life from me. Come, be connected deeply to me. Find life in me. The Greek word for remain or abide, which is some of your translations, if you have your Bible open to John 15, you'll see some of your Bibles use the word abide. This word could be translated to live, to dwell, to stay. So abide, live, remain, dwell, stay in Jesus. What an amazing verse to begin the new year. To remain and abide in the vine is to say, this is it. This is going to be the place, the physical place connected to Jesus, where I receive my wisdom, identity, purpose, goals, truth, love, and life. I'm going to receive it from him. I will abide, I will live, I will remain, I will dwell, I will stay in Jesus and he in me. So we pray, Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. Now, I am not skilled in viticulture, the study of grapes, but I learned a little bit this last week. I actually watched some amazing videos on vineyards. It's pretty powerful. I learned that a vine needs some good TLC in order to grow. And I want to show you a picture. A picture behind me is a vine left to grow on its own. It's a big bush, right? Totally uncared for. And it's okay to be a big bush. You just won't grow healthy fruit. All the busyness of the branches swirling around one another, blocking out all light, it's not conducive for good grapes. So that's a bush. Now, look at a pruned vine. So you say, yowzers, that's not much there. It's been pruned. And it's ready. This vine is ready for good, healthy grapes, either this year or the next, depending on what kind of grape you want to grow or how fast it grows. Now, notice the trunk. This is the image that Jesus gives for himself. So the trunk, so he is the trunk of the vine, and we are the branches that will grow up and out of the trunk of the vine. Now, see the final product. Beautiful grapes. I mean, this is a vine. It's in excellent shape. It had been pruned, and so there is now enough light, and there's enough space for good grapes to grow. So this is the image that Jesus gives for our relationship in him. Notice how intimate it is. Notice how connected the image is. We are in him. He is in us. There is no life apart from him. It's beautiful. Okay, kids, you're with us today. So pumped you're with us. It's time for a pop quiz. You get to shout out the answer when I ask the question. Kids, are you ready? I need to hear a big yes from you. Right on. Okay. Does a banana grow in a factory?
No.
Nailed it. Do apples grow in your refrigerator? Unless they have some kind of mold on it. You're right. Is lots of sugar good for you?
No.
Right on. Should you eat your green beans?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys got 75%, that last one. Some of you got that one wrong. Yes, of course you eat your green beans.
Yay.
You see, kids get it. You guys are smart, so the pop quiz is over. You know what's good for you. You knew that you had to say yes. Some of you felt like saying no on that last one. Parents, by the way, you're welcome. You can pay me later. You see, the vine and the branch is an image of this connection to Jesus. We know what's healthy for us. We know how we grow. My daughters, Lucy and Ella, when they eat something green on their plate, they believe their brain is growing. They say, "Feel my brain grow." And I'm like, "Whoa, yeah, eat that broccoli. It's getting bigger." I think it grows, right? It's contributing to the health of the brain. So it's this pit. We know it. We know what's good for us. And Jesus is inviting us into this healthy place where we receive all life. You could say nutrients, love from him. It's a beautiful picture of love. Receiving the love of Jesus as we are in him and he is in us. It's connected. It's beautiful. I mean, I find it interesting that in our culture, our way of showing love is to give someone cut flowers. Cut flowers. Here, take these flowers that I've cut. I've killed these flowers to express my love for you. No, they will not survive in this cup of water that I've put them in. I just want to watch these beautiful flowers die in the cup of water. So, is this prophetic about our relationship? Doesn't make sense. I like the image of the vine and the branches. Jesus shows this is what love is. You are deeply connected to me. You're finding life in me. Intimacy. It's beautiful. So this picture of the vine and the branches, we are listening to him. We're obeying him. We're loving him. We're receiving life from him. And so we ask ourselves the question, will he be the one in whom we take all of our life and we say, okay, this is going to be the place in Jesus, my Savior, in a place all that I am. I will abide. I will live. I will remain. I will dwell. I will stay in him. So Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. I've asked this before, North Langley. It's a deep question. I've asked this before. Are you a hobbit or a camel? Are you a hobbit or a camel? It's a simple question. Camels, you need to be reminded when to eat, right? You just kind of go throughout your day and you're like, oh, did I miss lunch? I'm so busy. I'm such a busy person. You know, I'm rarely hungry, and I need to force myself to eat something, right? And you kind of plan it out or whatever, but you would just kind of work your way, busy your way through the day, you'd forget to eat. How many of you are camels? Very few of us. There's a few of you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like 10 of you. But how many of you are hobbits? You think about eating and drinking before anyone else does. You would be cool with like 8 meals a day. Hobbits, they're fond of life, this quiet farming, this eating, this socializing. And according to Peter Jackson's trilogy, they enjoy 7 meals a day. They have breakfast, second breakfast, elevenses, luncheon, afternoon tea, dinner, and later in the evening, supper. 6 or 7 meals a day. So hobbits, raise your hands. Yeah, most of us in the room. Yeah. Woo, and Christmas is hard. Stuff is just hanging out on a table all day, all kinds of treats. And when you picture your relationship with Jesus, this picture of the vine and the branches, it is one of continuing to come to him, to remain in him. It's much more like a hobbit than it is a camel. Constantly coming to him, listening to him, drinking in his truth. This is how you want to start your year, January 1st, 2017. How might I remain in him, continuing to come to him? I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. There's one final thing I want us to see. For those of you here who have chosen to give your life to Jesus, to receive your identity and life in him, there's a warning. This is not always going to be easy. There will be pruning. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, you saw the pruning a moment ago, right? You saw that picture. Pruning is involved as we follow Jesus. As we said earlier, if a vine is left to itself, it will have tons of superfluous growth that keeps the vine from producing the best of grapes. Pruning a vine stimulates growth near the cut. Pruning a vine increases fruit size and quantity. Pruning a vine decreases the risk of disease. Pruning a vine increases light distribution along the vine. Listen to that. Stimulates growth. It increases fruit size and quantity. It decreases the risk of disease. It increases light along the vine. That's powerful. Don't we want that? That's what we want. We are invited to be pruned by God. The painful process of cutting away all the superfluous growth so that there can be fruit. We ask ourselves on January 1st, 2017, why am I not seeing more fruit in my life? Fruit of the Spirit. Why am I not more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, gentle, faithful, or practice more self-control? Could it be that we've resisted the pruning of the gardener, the great gardener who loves us? We say, no, we're comfortable remaining a tangled mess. We're not going to let light get through the mess of the overgrowth around us. We're tangled in cultural assumptions, lethargic lifestyles, media overload, mass consumption of food, noise, and busy lives. Have we welcomed the loving, good gardener to take his shears, to begin to prune us, to cut things away, to remove all that overgrowth? Are you open to this? Am I open to this? See, in theory we are. Matthew Price is open to pruning in theory. Because I see the picture. I see what it does. I see the growth. I'm open to this in theory. We're always open to this in theory. But are we truly open to this? Do we trust the gardener's pruning? But when the gardener prunes, he comes in nice and close. And I want you to listen to this quote from N.T. Wright. He says, the vine dresser is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand. He loves you. Northangley, he loves you. He loves us. And he'll come right in close. And he'll begin to prune us. He loves you. He is the one who went to the cross to die for you. He gave himself for you. It's the kind of gardener that we worship. He defeated death for us. We can trust him with the knife in hand to cut out all the things that don't belong. We can trust him to prune us. So Lord, may every part of us find our life in every part of you. Okay. Well, next week we're going to focus on how we abide in Jesus through community and communion. So next week will be part two. This is part A, part B. We're going to focus on community and communion, how we abide in Jesus through community and communion. But today, on January 1st, I want to challenge us with one specific thing. I want to challenge us to abide, to remain in Jesus through prayer and the reading of Scripture. And I want to do that by refocusing our attention on life journaling. Some of you will remember that we as a church, we life journal together. Many of us in the church, we read the Bible in 1 year. We kind of walk through this Bible reading program. And every morning or evening, whenever is best for you, we spend time reading God's word and journaling a prayer to God about something we've read for that day. It's a picture of abiding in the vine, of listening to God's truth. And I'm really excited to tell you that we have a kind of a 2.0 version of life journaling. And I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Tim. He has worked super hard on producing this for us. And let me tell you what is different about the new life journaling. And by the way, it starts today. Like January 1st is the first reading. And these are going to be available in the foyer just as you leave. They're $5. They're $2 for like a smaller version if you kind of want to do your quiet time on a different journal or on a computer or whatever. But The Bible reading program is back there. It's printed. But be sure to pick one of these up. Here's the deal. Here's what's really amazing about this. Pastor Tim worked on, in 2 years, it's a two-year Bible reading plan, so that every day you're reading two chapters, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And what it does is it gets you through the entire Old Testament in 2 years, and it gets you through the New Testament twice in 2 years. And also every day you're encouraged to pray a psalm. And so there's a time of prayer where you can pray through a psalm. And we will pray the psalms, I think it's about four times, I don't know where Tim is, but I think it's four times throughout the next 2 years. So you read an Old Testament chapter, you read a New Testament chapter, and you pray a psalm. And it's a two-year program. There's also something really cool. There's this project called the Bible Project. They make these little short videos. They're like 5 to 10 minutes long, and it'll introduce you to a new book of the Bible. So let's say you're just beginning to read the book of Hebrews. Okay, let's just use today. You're beginning to read the book of Mark. And so you go to the website, which is thebibleproject.com, and you check it out, and it'll have a video for the book of Mark. It'll give you a little summary of what you're about to read. So you can watch that video. It'll help you in your life journaling. You go, okay, this is where the book is headed. That's where it's going. And so it's amazing. So I'd encourage you to pick this up. It'll give you directions on what to do. You begin by just by praying and saying, God, would you show me as I read these couple chapters, what do you want to say to me today? What is it you're doing in my life? And so you begin to read the Old Testament chapter. You begin to read the New Testament chapter. And you say, God, what's going on here? What's going on? What do you want to say? And there might be a verse that pops out at you, a section of verses. And you just write that down. And you just kind of go, God, what are you saying in these verses? And you write that down. And then you say, okay, show me how to follow you. Like, I want to learn what you want me to do here. And say, okay, Lord, I think in these verses you're telling me to la da da da. So you write that down. And then you end with a prayer. And you say, God, this is how I want to commit my life to you. And based on this verse this morning, I want to live my life in this way. Northangley, can you imagine all of us as a church every day reading the same passages of Scripture? All of us. Every day, whether it's in the morning or the evening, the time that works best for you, all of us praying the same psalm every day, engaging God's word together, life journaling. And we'd encourage you to do it. Our staff team does it. Our elders are involved in life journaling. Would you join us and say this January 1st, today, you can start today. Make yourself a cup of coffee as you go home this afternoon or the evening. Begin the life journaling process. And it's a way of abiding, saying, Lord, I want to receive your truth. There's so much that I'm connected to. There is so much swirling around me. I want to know your word. And I want to engage you in prayer based on your word. So join us. It's a great day to start. And I want to let you know there is a workshop. If you want to know more about life journaling, next Sunday at the 11:30 service, Tim is running a workshop at the 11:30 service upstairs, I believe. You could come and you could go, I want to know how to do this, and he'll walk through it. Hey, one quick other thing. The youth, how many youth in the room? Youth, raise your hands. Are you guys here? Boom. There you are. Good. So you love Kevin and Brian. I know you love them. They have a great program for you. It's a version of life journaling, but it's called the 260 program. Do you guys, you're familiar with 260? Yes. Is that a big yeah? I know lots of you are already involved. So talk to Kevin and Brian. They would love to tell you more about the 260 program. Here's how it works. There's 260 chapters in the New Testament. And so you guys every day can read a new chapter. And I think you guys get together to talk about them. And so talk to Kevin and Brian about that. Okay. I want to invite Tim and Cindy on up. We're going to close in worship. But I want to end with this question. Are you thirsty? January 1st, 2017, are you thirsty? Do you want to be in him and him in you? Are you left thirsty, parched after tasting all the other things that you're connected to? Are you thirsting for him? My brother, when he was in the hospital as a little kid, he had surgery. And surgery was planned, and he wasn't allowed to drink anything for 24 hours. And my mom and dad in the hospital put him in a bathtub. I think he was 1 or 2 years old, and put him in a bathtub. And, you know, they turned around for one moment, turned back, and he was lapping up the water, like in the bathtub, just ooh, you know, the poor little kid was parched. And I always, in my mind, I have that image of just this thirst. You know, my poor brother, right, going so long without, he was thirsty. And so he's lapping up that water. And it's kind of a weird picture, but it's a beautiful picture of just this thirst that we have for God. He couldn't wait any, Nathan couldn't wait any longer, right? He had to drink. Are you in that place today? To meet with God, to thirst for him? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Could you stand with me? We're going to worship. So I'm going to pray. I want to let you know our prayer team is right in through these doors here. Would love to pray with you. If any of you are feeling the need for someone to pray with you and just say, dedicate this year to him, I'd encourage all of us as we sing, we're going to sing, Lord, I need you, that this would be your prayer, that you would say, God, it's first day of 2017, we come to you. So let's pray that. God, we do pray. We come to you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill us anew. As we come and as we think about all the things that we're connected to, God, we humbly lay our lives before you and pray that by your grace we would be able to remain in you, that you would abide in us, that God, 2017 would be known for being a year of deep connection to you, that we wouldn't be content anymore with superficial overgrowth, but God, that we would long to be pruned by you, to receive our life and teaching and truth from you, to receive our identity in you. God, come. Holy Spirit, fill us. God, give us a deep thirst for you. And God, I pray for anyone here in the room who is feeling a real sense of fear in terms of coming to you, God, I pray that you would give them peace. For those who are looking at the busyness of their life and wondering how they could ever fit in time to be with you, God, I pray that you would prune some things away and that they would be left with some time that they can spend with you. And God, I pray that you would fill us with joy every day, more and more joy, as we connect with you through your word and in prayer. We love you, God. May we find all of our life in all of you.